Hallelujah. What a blessing to be together in that name that's above every name. Amen. Nothing better than coming together in the name of Jesus, the name Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want you all to turn to Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew chapter 6. We've been speaking to you here for the last, this is the fourth week. We're speaking about delightful prayer. And we shouldn't have to put that on there, but how many of you know that prayer might be boring sometimes? Have any of you ever been to a prayer meeting that was boring?
Yep.
Well, you know, there's different reasons for that. Part of it is, you know, it's boring because we're not involved. But I had to come to an understanding and a realization a while back that a lot of what we don't like about prayer isn't truly what God likes about prayer. He doesn't care for the stuff that we don't like either. Because a lot of ritualism doesn't necessarily bless Him. Every time we come together here, we confess the Shema. The Shema. We confess it. We say it together. And all that is a confession of our faith. And somebody could say, well, that's a ritual. You do it every time. But you know, there's some things we do as reminders. Some things we do to remind us, not to ritualize. When I was a boy, there's two things I could depend on at church. There's probably a lot more than that, but I knew the song we were going to sing to begin, and I knew the song that we were going to sing to end. The other thing that I could depend on was that there'd probably be three hymns sung in the morning. There was going to be a young people's message. And there was going to be a sermon that had 3 points and a poem. Well, you say, did you get anything out of it? Yeah, there was good stuff in all of that. There was some good stuff in it. But over a period of time, it became ritualistic. And I watched, and you know, I'm always concerned because our children, you know, have the same possibility to get into ritual. I was blessed today, looked over and Peter was there keeping time to the music and he had his hands in the air part of the time. That tells me he's not into the ritual. Amen? And some kids just get into being church smart. They know what to say at the right time to keep you off their back. Amen or oh me. It's fact, isn't it? Did any of you ever go to church like that and you knew what to say? You had certain things that you said to people and boy, you know, ooh, that boy, he's got it. He's just like Jesus when he went up to the temple at 12. You know, I mean, he's got wisdom beyond his years. Well, some of those times all that is a show. And so it is with prayer. Sometimes prayer is nothing than a show. And Yeshua talked about it. And he said prayer can be nothing but Pharisees going into the marketplaces with long robes and more than long robes, long tzitziot. They want the fringe on their garment to be long. And people to look at them. And when they pray, they say, boy, they are good prayers. Now, there may be some people around and you're going to say that about them. They're good prayers. But have you ever noticed that a lot of good prayers, really the reason they're good is because they pray in such a way that men are moved by it. What do you suppose moves God? What kind of prayer moves God? Well, Jesus also talked about two men that went up to pray in the temple. He said one was a Pharisee, and we talked about this already. We said don't get down on the Pharisees. The Pharisees were word guarders. They guarded Torah. I'm not against Pharisees. They were the best of the sects, but they still were a sect. But the Pharisees stood up, and there was a tax gatherer there, a publican there also. And the Pharisees stood up and said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I thank you that I'm not like this tax gatherer here. I thank you that I give tithe of everything that I own. The Bible, one part of it even says he said within himself, And we spoke of the fact that it's possible to pray to yourself. It's also possible that all prayer is to you is fulfilling a duty. I got to pray. I read a book one time said if you don't pray 2.5 hours a day, you're not tithing your time, so I got to pray. Well, I read a book one time that said pray without ceasing. Did any of you ever read that book? So sometimes prayer is just putting in our time. And we might come to the Lord and say, I pray 2 hours every day, Lord. Putting in my time. Or we might tell somebody else our testimony. Bob, do you know I spend 2 hours a day in prayer? Well, that would be really like me saying I spend 2 hours a day to talk to the Lord. Well, where is the Lord?
Inside.
He's in us, isn't he? He lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I'm with Henrietta, and she's not inside me, but she's close to me, and we're together all day long, would it be ridiculous for me to come to somebody and say, do you know I talked to Henrietta 2 hours today? You'd say, so? But we do that with prayer. And the fact is, if I'm with Henrietta, who would keep track of time and how would you keep track of it? We don't talk all the time, but there's communion and fellowship and talking and going on all the time. So why not start looking at prayer as something that's happy and delightful? In Isaiah 56 and verse 7, the scripture tells us, and Yeshua, Jesus, actually spoke this prayer. He says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful. And Jonathan's been speaking about this today. This is part of the vision of this church. And you can read it right back there on that little thing on the back wall. It says, write the vision by the thermometer and clock there. It says, write the vision, and it says, a house of prayer. I want to make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now, Jesus was talking explicitly about the temple that he was in. In fact, he had just done something. What had he done? What had he already done at this time when he said this? He cleaned house, that's right. He went in and he did a house cleaning of the money changers and the merchants that had booths set up there that were making the temple of God a den of robbers, he said. And he cleaned it out. He said, because the scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And he quoted Isaiah 56:7. Now, we know something. We don't have a temple anymore, do we? Who took care of the temple the last time? The Romans, right? Titus destroyed the last temple. The last temple where sacrifices were offered was destroyed in 70 AD. That's a long time ago. And so we can't go to that house anymore. But we also know something, don't we? That the Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? And doesn't it say that? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Well, how did we become the temple? Well, through the new birth. Say the new birth. Through being born again, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us now. He's taken up residence in a place inside of us called the Holy of Holies. So everything that we read about that temple, all of the sacrifices that were offered there, have been fulfilled in Yeshua, in Jesus. He made the way into the Holy of Holies. Or they're being fulfilled through our offering up sacrifices of praise, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's the way we're doing it today. So when you said in your heart, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, and then you spoke it out with your mouth, and you said, I confess you as Yahweh. I believe that you're God. I believe it. You're God, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. You're speaking this out. See, faith has to be spoken. Faith can't just be held in. If you read all through Scripture, you find out that everything God did, He said, and He said, and He said, and He said, and He said. Did you ever think how redundant when you read Genesis chapter 1? And the Lord said, light be. And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. And if it had been one of us writing it today, we'd have just said, and the Lord said, light be, and He created all the light and the earth, and He created the cattle, and He created the grass, and He created everything. And we'd just enumerate. But it says every one of them, and God said. Why is that? Because that's how He did it. He did it by saying. And mark this down. What God does, He says it first. He says it and it's done. And He made us in His likeness and in His image. That's what the Scripture says. In His likeness and in His image. I believe that means there's a deep similarity to the way we look and the way God looks. Likeness and image. Didn't just say likeness. I don't know if God has a mustache or not, but that's not what He's talking about, is it? Partly He made us spirit, soul, and body. But you see, He made us to express our faith the same way He does. To express our trust. And how do we find out that people get saved? That if thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is God. Do you believe that? Does anybody here doesn't believe Jesus is God? See, that's the premise. He can't be Lord if He's not God. And if you confess that with your mouth and believe in your heart, inside, you really believe it in your heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture says something that's just, it's too good to be true. Isn't that wonderful? You will be saved. That's it. Salvation, the new birth, comes that simply. That's the way it happens. So God put the Holy Spirit inside of us in the new birth. And the temple of the Holy Ghost is there. And He told us in Exodus chapter 25, 22, He says, In the Holy of Holies, which is in the temple of God, you're going to put an Ark of the Covenant, and you're going to put a mercy seat, the Kapora, that has two cherubs facing each other, and their wings arch over it. And He said, I'm going to meet with you there, or I will commune with you. I will devar, Hebrew. I will speak. I will fellowship with you. Say with. What does with indicate? That ahad. Preposition. What?
Ahad.
Yeah, it does. It does. It brings ahad, which is oneness, unity. But it also, and that there's something really good about that, because God comes to us not on a high level. I'm going to speak to you from above the mercy seat, looking down on you. I'm going to speak with you, face to face. Moses said, I'd like to see your face, God. And God said, not yet. Not yet, Moses. But He said, you just stand here and I'll hold my hand and you can see me as I pass by. But you know what's happened? Something amazing has happened to us when the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of us. He made us a new creation. You don't look any different on the outside. You still got warts and your hair is still falling out. But you know what? You're born again. Born again. A new creation. What a wonderful thing that is. What a blessing. And because we have this, and God meets with us now, where? In this holy place on the inner man, He meets with us there to talk with us, to commune with us. Say commune. See, commune had that religious sound to it because we say, did you take communion? And see, that's become another ritual. In some places, you know, people run up like rats, you know, and they stick a wafer on their tongue. The body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. I don't like that. I like to stop, break off a chunk of bread, crack off the matzah, and stop and look at it and think about it. Talk about, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, I'm remembering you, Lord. I'm remembering everything I can think about you. Because I just like to talk with you and think about you. See, there's a difference, isn't there? We start to have communion in a different light when we start to think about what it really means to commune. And prayer is, this was our beginning definition, that prayer is communion with God. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is to come together in friendship. Say friendship. Friendship. I am a friend of God. Whoa. Can you imagine that? Whoever would dare to think of themselves as God's friend? Well, the Bible said Abraham was. And I'm Abraham's seed. I'm of the seed of Abraham. Amen. All the nations shall be blessed in you, Abraham. And I'm a nation. I'm a seed. I'm part of him. I'm blessed. And so now I know I'm a friend of God because the blessings of Abraham come after me. And the blessing makes rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. Prayer is communion. Well, one of the other things we found is here he says, go back to Isaiah 56:7. One of the things we find, he says, I will bring them and make them joyful. Say joyful. Joyful. Oh, joyful. You heard what Jonathan was saying this morning about joy. You see, this is extremely important that we get this. Is there no place for us to mourn? Of course there's a place for mourning. But mourning comes temporarily. It comes to pass. Mourning is never something that we just stay in. You know, is there anybody that here that could tell me honestly that, as I spoke about the husband and wife, where he lost the wife, but many of the Buddhist relatives came to Christ because they saw joy after it. Well, once it's settled, that didn't mean they didn't mourn for their mother. They mourned for her. They cared for her. But you know what? By the time they got into the place of a service for her, of remembrance, a memorial, man, they were remembering the good things about her. And they were so glad. You know, I remember the morning my dad died. They called me on the phone. They had him in the hospital, and I still remember it. You'd have had to have seen my dad in his last days. His body just went turned to rock around him is what happened. He had a atrophy that just caused his muscles to harden. And in fact, they got to where he had cramp, and he actually broke up the bone, the big bone, his thigh bone, with a cramp, twisted it. And I knew he was in the hospital, and I knew that he was, you know, having problems. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary. It was so good, you know, but I still remember, because Kathleen was up here at the time, and I was taking her to an airplane, and we were driving down anyhow, but I got a call, and it said, if you want to see him, you better get here. And so I got in the car, and as soon as I got in the car, we left hours earlier than we were going to. When I got in the car, somehow I knew he was gone. But when I knew he was gone, it was interesting what I saw. I didn't see my dad laying in a casket. Now remember, he couldn't talk either. His voice was gone. But I saw him in my spirit, and I didn't see the surroundings clearly, but I knew it was heaven. And he was having a time, boy. He was moving around. He was walking on streets of gold, and he was having a good time. And I mean to tell you, I never cried a tear of mournfulness. But I miss him like crazy. But I cried. I mean, when I saw him dancing on streets of gold, I saw that in my spirit. Oh, man. Oh, I'll tell you what. It's worth it all, people. You see, there's something beyond what we see. It's good. And so we found out that God wants us to be joyful. Say joyful. Make them joyful. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation of him shall be what? Sweet. Sweet. A sweet meditation. Meditation's part of prayer. Haggah, prayer. Meditation. It's part of what we do when we think about God. And this is what we're doing. In fact, this whole thing, communion, comes down to a continual awareness that God's here. And boy, that's not easy. In this world, that's not easy, is it? I mean, we talked about it already this morning. Wouldn't it be something if we always just had Him on our mind? If He just was always there, we'd be thinking, well, how many of you can say, He is? I've already got that. I've arrived. Nobody? Well, me neither. I haven't arrived either, but I'm working on it. Because I believe there is a place in prayer where that's what we're accomplishing, is an awareness of God. I'm aware that He's there. He said, I will that men pray first of all. And a lot of people have looked at what He said to pray for first of all. I don't think He said it for that. I don't think He said it to tell us the order of things to pray for. I think He said it to say, I will that your first impulse in every situation is prayer. When you open your checkbook and you got to write out a check for $300 and there's only $150 there, what's your first impulse? Don't write the check. But if you need to write it, and you're going to have to write it someday, what are you going to do? If you're smart, you're going to say, Lord, the Word says that You supply all of my need according to Your riches in glory by Messiah Yeshua. That's praying, first of all, see? That's not writing a check on faith. In fact, if you've been in Bob's class, you know better than that. That's called presumption. We're not presumptuous. We don't walk in faith that way. Our confession is speaking those things which we believe will come to pass. But you know what? You've got to build that in your spirit and continue to plant and continue. And by the way, let's just say this about planting. If you're smart, you don't just plant once a year like we used to on the farm. As a believer, you need to be planting all the time, looking for opportunities to sow seed. Why is that? Because you want a continual, perpetual harvest, don't you? It's the way I want it. I want my harvest all the time. I want a harvest all the time because there's always time between seed and harvest. It's called seed. Bob got this. Seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, sometimes time, and harvest, right? So get your planting going. Sowing seed. How do you sow seed? Good things. Good things. Word of God is seed. The Word of God is good. Amen? So we begin to sow that way. And the Bible says, technically, when you pray, how do you pray? Yeshua says, what's that? Okay, without ceasing. Help me out. With faith. Prayer of faith. What? In spirit and in truth. And Yeshua tells us to pray, Avinu Shabashamayim. Avinu Shabashamayim. Our Father, say Father, Abba. Father, Abba. Abba is Father, Abba. Pray to Abba in the name of Yeshua. Pray in my name, He said, but talk to the Father. Talk to the Father in my name. Is that scripture? Well, look, I told you to turn to Matthew 6, verse 9. This is the anointed pattern for prayer. I believe in this pattern is the way we should pray. But listen to me carefully now. I believe you would be mistaken if you said, this is the prayer I'm going to pray, because I don't believe Yeshua was teaching that. He wasn't telling you to just pray a written prayer. Do any of you have the sitter? A Hebrew sitter? Do you have a sitter? Some of you parents are saying, I used to get a sitter, but my kids are too old now. I don't need a sitter. S-I-D-D-U-R is a prayer book. Lots of religions use prayer books. But what those are prayers that righteous men have prayed. And so they begin to pray these prayers over and over and over again. But the problem is, through the years, not only did the righteous get some prayers in, but there's also in there that aren't so righteous. There's some things that aren't so good. And Here's the prayer book you should have. This book right here. Because you know what? It's unadulterated. Say unadulterated. That means there's no stuff mixed in and diluted into. So pray it from here. You say, but I don't know all of that, and that's a big book. And how am I going to find the place that I need when I need it? Well, this is what you call preparation. You start working on it. And you might say, but I can't pray like you do, Pastor Terry. And I might look at somebody and say, but I can't pray like they do. But you know what? I can pray. And you know, we've got a promise where Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and teach us the things that He had said. Now, here's what happens. You read it, and it doesn't make any dent in your mind, you think at all. You get done, and you say, I've read this, and I don't know what I read. Do you ever do that with the Word of God? Does anybody else do that here? Sometimes you read it and say, oh, man, I read a whole chapter, and I don't even know what it's about. Sometimes I go back and read it again. Well, that's all right. We're not racing. We're not reading for speed. So I read it, and all of a sudden, I realize that I'm still not understanding it. But you know what? Things that I've read a long time ago get called up to remembrance every now and then. And God starts putting revelation to them, begins to tell me about them. And so here's the scripture that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Everybody knows this prayer, right? This is the Catholics call it Our Father, the Our Father, right? And the Protestants call it the Lord's Prayer. I would submit to you, it's neither. It's not the Our Father, and it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's Jesus teaching us topically the main headings of what prayer life is about. Hebrew rabbis, or Jewish rabbis, the rabbis have a funny way of teaching. If a rabbi quotes a part of a scripture to you, he's not just doing it for the way a lot of Christian people do. And sometimes, by the way, there's a pretext in doing that. We leave out the part we don't want to bring up. But when a Jewish rabbi ministers a portion of scripture to us, he's saying, go back and look at the whole chapter. Go back and look at the whole context. He is implying that the whole context will be brought in. That you're going to see it that way. That you're going to understand it that way. So when we get a little bit of a quote from Jesus, for instance, when he quoted Isaiah 56:7, he's thinking you're going to go back and take the whole context of that and understand it. That you're going to look at it completely. And a lot of times we don't do that. We just take the little part out that we want to. In fact, I've got some things in my notes here. I just wrote down for me today, Isaiah 56:7, mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Well, that's not the whole verse, is it? That's just part of the verse. But that reminds me of the whole verse and brings back to my remembrance the things that are going on there. In Exodus 25:22, it says, there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee. Well, that's not the whole scripture, but that brings to my recollection the whole scripture. The whole scripture. And so when Yeshua is teaching this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he's showing us a demarcation, if you will, or a place in prayer where you come and you begin to speak that topic. Now I want you to know that just to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is about the way we do it sometimes, maybe a little slower, doesn't have much meaning, does it? Do you think much of it? I don't think much about what I'm saying when I do it that way, and I try too. But sometimes, you know, you're just trying to say it, and then you get to wondering, are they going to say trespasses or sins or debts? What are they going to say? So you're thinking more about what they're going to say than what's really important. But prayer is communion with God. So we're thinking about what Yeshua said here. Now there's a reason we pray. We think we're trying to get God's attention when we pray. Let me read something to you here. I should have brought it up. But this is really good. I don't know who came up with it, but I thought it was really good. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of His highest willingness. Does that make sense to you? See, some people think, well, if I pray long enough, I'm going to convince God and He'll have to give in to me. And they get that by misapplying scriptures about importunity. But you know, our God's not an unjust judge. An unjust judge, is He? Our God is a just judge. Shall He not judge justly? isn't that what Abraham told Him? Shall not the God of all the earth judge in righteousness? Yes, He does. So you don't want to get into that kind of thing when you do it. But here's what I believe. He says when you pray, you're supposed to be doing something. And get this out of Psalm 103. I want to read the five verses there, but listen to this. Bless the Lord. How many of you can see that blessing the Lord is part of prayer? What is blessing the Lord? Berakah. Baruch. It's praise, isn't it? Thanksgiving. So that's what we're doing. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What part of you is your soul? What?
Our inner spiritual being.
He's part of your spiritual being. Your spirit would be called your ruach. Your soul, and you can look this up if you've got a Strong's Concordance, is your nephesh. Your nephesh. Your nephesh is your soul. Really, according to Scripture, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Or you might say it, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So, you've got two parts of you that are invisible and one part that's visible. Soul and spirit are invisible, aren't they? Anybody ever seen your soul? No, you see the results of soul. Now, I know that's music, right? Soul. I got soul, boy. But nobody's seen your soul, nobody's seen your spirit. And people, as they will do from time to time, you know, they try to prove things scientifically. And someone, I don't know who it was, years ago, came up with this deal that they were with somebody when they died and supposedly put them on a scale before and after, and they lost a few milligrams. And they said, that's the weight of that immaterial part. Well, I don't believe that for a second. And I don't have to have my faith established by somebody's scientific scale, do you? If you do, you're in trouble. But your soul is what's being talked to here. The soul is being... You know, I believe that the born-again spirit of man knows what God knows. Do you believe that? Where does God live? In my spirit. He lives in my spirit. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, that's talking about that spirit man. Everything changes when you get born again in the spirit. Did everything change in your mind? Can you still be a stinker? Huh? Did it all change in your body? Can you still be a stinker? You can stink physically too, can't you? And mentally. No, everything didn't change there, but it did inside. I believe that born again part of you knows what God knows. But the problem is, the mind of us, the will and the emotions of us, they didn't change. They're getting saved. And how do they get saved? By the Word of God. The mind gets renewed by the Word. We speak the Word to ourselves. I believe prayer is a part of this. Blessing God is a part of this. Making my soul aware of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We could take it like this. All right, soul, come here. Get over here. Stand here and bless God. You hear me? That's my spirit doing that to my soul, see? That's taking the soul of you, the mind of you, the will of you by the nape of the neck and saying, get with it, fella. And I believe that's what David's doing here when he speaks this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, at all that is within me. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get every part of him involved. His maodeka. All of his resources, everything there is about him, involved. Bless his holy name. But listen to what he says next. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Talking to his soul again. Don't you forget. What happens when you forget? How do you forget?
You just think about something else.
Huh? You think about it sometimes, or start thinking about something else. Right. Soul can, or forgetfulness can be from a lack of memory. Right? But what else is it a lack of often? Attention, focus. This is what he's talking about. Don't let your focus get off of the benefits. Say benefits. Does God have any benefits? Are there any benefits to hire an arm of the Lord? Great benefits. He has the best benefit package of all. I tell you, it's heavenly. Amen. It's heavenly. Listen to what it says. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowns you with hesed, loving kindness, and tender mercies, rahum. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So why do we pray? For focus. I want to focus on God. I don't want to forget Him. I don't want to forget His benefits. One of His benefits is that I get to be with Him. Isn't that right? He crowns me with loving kindness and tender. He crowns me with it. What is that? I mean, you wouldn't crown somebody you didn't like with something like that, would you? He likes me. Does God like you? Oh, say it. Say, He likes me. Say, my God loves me. Oh, yeah. You know, somebody said if he had a wallet, he'd carry your picture right on the front of it. You know, just that's how much he loves you. That's a fact. God loves you. And you know, just to know that, you know, it takes all this religious burden out of the way. Amen. We don't have to have a religious burden about it. And so we're not trying to get God's attention, so he's reluctant to answer. And so, oh, God. God, help me. Help me, God. Oh, God, I need $100. God, God, $100. $100, $100. I need $100. Who'll give me $100? You know, a lot of times people think if I just say it enough, that's confession to some people. But that's not praying God's way. How would you come to your father if you needed $100? Your dad. Daddy. How would you have come to Him? Now, I know that some of you, that's not a good... But let's just assume that your daddy is like my dad was. But you could just go sit down with him and say, Dad, I'm short $100. I need $100. You know, my dad wouldn't necessarily have said, all right, son, I'll give it to you right now. He might have said, well, all right, okay. But you know what? Before I'd have left there, he'd have had him give me $100. If I needed it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those that ask Him? Does He know more than your dad did? Yeah. He does. And would it have done me any more good if I'd have went and sat down beside Dad and said, Dad, I need $100. Please, Dad, give me $100. Oh, Dad, could I have $100? Dad, please, Dad, oh God, Dad, I need $100. Yeah. Well, you see, that's the way a lot of people approach prayer. Because their attitude is wrong about their Father. That's why I believe Yeshua used that. And by the way, that is old Hebrew stuff. Avinu was not something that Jesus just began to call God. The Jews understood Avinu, our Father. They understood our Father, which art in heaven. They understood that. In fact, that's a part of the Siddur today. You can read things like that in these prayer books. You can read it. And so he was telling us, don't approach your father like he's stingy, but approach him like your Father in heaven. And then say how holy His name is. How blessed His name is. How good His name is. And here again, we talked about it last week, in the Kaddish, which is one of the Hebrew prayers. In fact, this is one of them they say, the rabbis say it and people respond to it. But also they say it, a Kaddish is spoken at a funeral. A Kaddish. And a Kaddish, it starts with this, Yitkadal Vayitkadesh Shemei Rabbah. And you know what that means? Magnified and sanctified your great name. magnified and sanctified. So what did Yeshua say? Well, according to the way the Greek brought it across to English, bless His holy name. Or hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. But that's what it's talking about. That same thought that they all had about blessed and sanctified, magnified and sanctified is His holy name. What is His name? What is the name of God?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Well, you see, we know that. But you know, I think a lot of people, when we talk about His holy name, don't know that He actually told us His holy name. Your Hebrew Bible, or your English Bible, doesn't have, except maybe once or twice in the King James, do they ever have even the term Jehovah. Very little, right? What do you have in your English Bibles instead of the word Yahweh? And by the way, let me stop for a second. Yahweh is the way people have settled upon pronunciation. We don't know how to say it. We don't know, we aren't sure how to say it. But did God tell us what it was? Yeah. He told Moses how to pronounce it, I assume. Moses knew how. But somehow, and I think maybe this didn't happen until later. We know that by the time the third century came along, that Yahweh was no longer used at all. But here's the funny thing. The Jews came up with this idea that this name is ineffable. The ineffable name. Have you ever heard that term? Yahweh is the ineffable name of God. Only you'd never hear a Jew say it, would you? What would they say? Adonai. They say Adonai when they're praying. They say Adonai when they're reading Scripture. But if they're just talking in conversation, they'll say Hashem, the name. The name. But all of those refer to that, what they call the ineffable. Say ineffable. You know what that means? An ineffable name? It's the name. I'm looking for where I wrote it down. Ineffable. It's the name that's too... I can't remember how it goes. It's too magnificent to speak. Too wonderful to know. Now, I believe there's a part of that that's right. It's too wonderful to know. He's too good. You can't even begin to touch His goodness, can you, when you begin to talk about it. But nevertheless, in Exodus 3 and verse 14, we read that when God was speaking to Moses, Moses asked him, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God said to him in Exodus 3:14, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." Now, in the Stone edition of Chumash, which is a Hebrew commentary on this, they say that he very well could have said, "I shall be as I shall be." Eyeh, asher, eyeh could just as well translate that way. I shall be. But here's the thing. All of it comes into the way he said it, into eternity, doesn't it? In fact, the name of God, Yud, He, Vav, He, Yud, He, Vav, He, has the letters in it for Haya, Hoveh. What's the last one? You sing it all the time. Who was and who is. Haya, Hoveh. Vahayah, Vahayah, and Hayah, and is to come. So it means He was, He is, and He will be. It uses the letters that make up the name Yahweh. That's all the letters that are in that Hebrew word. For He was, He is, and so it's speaking about eternity. So we say, what is the name of God? Holy is Your name. Is it wrong for us to know that it's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh? No, I think it's right for us to know it. You can choose yourself whether you want to say Yahweh, whether you want to say Jehovah. I just personally believe, because the Vav in ancient Hebrew was also pronounced a Wah instead of a Vav. Wah, which has a W sound. So I just personally believe that that's close, Yahweh. It's the best I can do. And I love to say it. I love to say it. I don't know. Maybe I'll find out I'm not quite right when I get there. But I know I'm going to be excited to find out the right pronunciation. Amen? But God, you see, is an eternal God. That's what the name Yahweh means, partly. Eternity. Say eternal. Eternal. Did you ever realize that God doesn't live in time like we do? That time is a created place just for us? That God inhabits eternity? That's what Scripture says. He inhabits eternity. And so, where is God looking at us from right now? From eternity. He's in eternity. Can you comprehend that? If you can, you're doing better than I am. I can't figure it all out because our God's eternal. I used to all the time when I was a little kid, I couldn't go to sleep at night a lot of times because I'd be thinking about eternity. Did you ever do that? Just start thinking about and meditating on eternity? And I was trying to think of anything that I could relate to that goes on and on and on and on and on and never ends. And it was staggering to me. And that's what God is. He is the Alpha. Isn't that the way Revelation puts it in the Greek? I am the Alpha and the Omega. What he really said, I believe, is I'm the Aleph and the Tov. I am before all beginnings and after all endings. And so we need to begin to, as we know our God, and see, we're talking about relating to Him. Holy is your name. You're eternal. Also, He tells us in that name, He gives us pictures of what that name's all about. In 2 Chronicles 6:14, Solomon says, and Solomon said, O Yahweh, God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their hearts. What's it like when you're walking before God with all your heart? Huh? Are you focused? Is that communion? That's what communion's all about. I'm walking before Him with all my heart. Listen to Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. It says, Yahweh, the Lord. I know it says the Lord in your English Bible. Yahweh is gracious. Say gracious. Gracious. What does gracious mean? Tammy is gracious.
Abounding in grace.
What?
Abounding in grace.
Or disposed to show grace. Gracious. I'm disposed to show grace and favor. Disposed to show favor. Well, that just gives you an attitude. See, when you say Yahweh is gracious, well, I begin to see Him then. It talks about what we've read here. We're not overcoming His reluctance. He's gracious. He's gracious. Then it goes on and it says He's full of compassion. Oh, man, if we could just understand the compassion of God. He's slow to anger. That talks about our Father. That's not the image I had even when I was growing up. One of Henrietta's Sunday school teachers says, you better be good because the Holy Spirit's watching you all the time. Well, what do you suppose that did to Henrietta?
Fear.
Yeah. But she was a good kid because she really believed it. But, you know, that's not what we're supposed to say. He's slow to anger. Slow to anger and of great, say great. Great mercy. Great mercy. Or raham. And that raham, if you look that up in your Strong's Concordance, you'll find out raham talks about having womb love. God loves us as a mother loves a little baby. Have you ever heard a mother say, you know, until I had that baby, I didn't understand how anybody could love a child this much. You dads, do you understand it? Well, you know why? It's because God has blessed us to a certain extent with that same understanding of the love. And we love Him so much. God is slow to anger and of great mercy. This word chesed talks about love, mercy, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's God. His name. Well, that's what ineffable means. Too overwhelming to be expressed. We can't fully understand it, can we? I mean, even with knowing it. But you see, with what He's given us, do you have a little different image even today than maybe you had when you came in here about how much God loves you? how much He cares about you? And does that give you a different attitude about prayer? Because I have to be honest with you. I used to think if I didn't pray so long that I just wasn't going to get anything. But you know the Bible, when it says pray without ceasing, it's not doing that to tell you that if you don't pray without ceasing, your prayers won't be answered. What it's telling you is if you don't pray without ceasing, you're going to rob yourself of the fellowship that you could have with your Father, which is in heaven. What I'm trying to do here is not go a long way any one time. What I want you to do is begin to catch this. I could teach it, but you see, teaching is just one part of it. What we've got to do is say, I'm going to receive this because I'm getting something here that's valid, something that's important. I don't want to dread prayer. Somebody says prayer meeting. I want to think, good. Wow, when? Why? Because I believe it's possible to have that in my heart so much. The prayer is not negative to me. And the prayer meetings quit being boring times when people come together just to talk to the Father. One of the reasons we do it is because we don't feel religious enough, because everybody that's illustrated it to us has been religious. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we beseech Thee. Well, I don't talk that way anymore, do you? We say God with three syllables. Oh, God. Right? We don't need to do that. We don't have to elevate our voice a little bit. Nor do we have to make our pitch get any higher. He's our friend. We talk to Him. I don't go up to Bob. When I say Bob, I don't say, oh, Bob, I am so glad to see you, Bob. It's so good to be with you. And if I did, that's what he'd do to me, you see? Well, probably the Father's doing that at us a little bit too. But He's gracious. He's gracious. We can get away with a lot. But you know what? Why do it that way when there is such a freedom in just being with our Father? And now as we teach this Lord's Prayer, and we're going to teach through what they call the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's the disciples' pattern, the anointed pattern. He is the anointed one. And when He says to pray in like manner, there must be something about that that we need to learn. Do you agree with that? So what we did, instead, we just started making it a part of every religious service we come to. We said it, recited it, and recited it, and recited it, until pretty soon people just don't even listen when they say it. But we're going to learn what there is in it. Hallowed be Thy name. Oh, the names that God shows us of Himself in Scripture. The names that go along with Yahweh. Yahweh Sidkano. Yahweh Makadash. Or Makadesh. Makadesh. Who knows how to say that? I don't. But we know that there's different names. Yahweh Shammah. Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Yira. Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Rohi. Man, there's power in it. Power in this. All of the things that God teaches us about it. Forget not. Forget not. Say, forget not.
Forget not.
Say, I will not.
I will not.
Forget. I will not be oblivious from want of attention. Amen. And I won't allow myself to be oblivious because of memory. I'm going to keep it before me. How do you do that? Well, it's just day by day by day, hiding yourself in the Word of God, taking time for the Word. You know, you may not do it, but if you're not, I would so encourage you to take the Torah portion readings and get started reading through the Torah every year. In addition, Henrietta and I do this. This is one thing you get from the Simcha Torah calendar. They take you all through the New Testament also, reading through the whole New Testament. What am I doing? Hiding God's Word in my heart. Taking God's Word and washing myself with it. Doesn't the Bible say, the washing of water by the Word? Amen? How many of you think you could catch this? See, some things aren't so much taught as they're caught. And as we're teaching, because it's being laid out before us, I believe some of us are going to catch on to this. And this is going to quit being religious. I don't want to be religious, do you? Not religious, at least in the way that the world thinks about religion. I don't want to be that way. What's that?
I want to follow God's ways.
That's right. That's halakha. That's a walk. Walking in the paths of righteousness. Amen? Being like He is. I want to do that too. That's what I want to do. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up. Oh, how many of you know the Lord is good? How many of you know His chesed endures forever? That's it. This love, mercy, loving kindness, goodness, faithfulness endures forever. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's what Yeshua said. Now, He's with me. He's in me. He never leaves me. Makes sense. I'm going to talk to Him, doesn't it? And I don't ever have to be proud about talking to Him 2 hours, because hopefully it's going to be a whole lot more than that. Right? Just communicate. Just participate. Say, it's too far from me. Oh, it's not. You can do it. Father, we bless You today. We love You. We honor You. And it's so good that we can just come and talk to You, that we can know You hear us, because we come to You, Father, in Jesus' name. You're on the inside of us. We don't have to cry out to a God that's far off, but we can just talk to You. And when we talk to You, we're not the only ones that are part of the conversation, because You talk back to us. And I set myself right now in agreement with the Word of God that I'm going to be a listener. I'm going to hear and hearken. Hear Your voice. You said in John chapter 10 that My sheep hear My voice. And I know them, and they follow Me. Well, Lord, I know I'm Your sheep. So I'm going to hear You, and I'm going to talk to You. I'm going to speak to You, and I know You're going to speak to me. And I set myself right now a choice in my life that I'm going to listen and hear and understand. Speak to me by that still, small voice that's on the inside, those impressions that You give, so that I will hear You and know You, and that I might walk with You as a friend. Thank You, Father. Thank You in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say to you today, if you haven't made that commitment, if it's not something that's really deep on the inside of you, that I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, but I've just never said it. I want to say it right now. Would you say it with me? Say this with me. Say, Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus, and I confess right now, with my mouth, I say, Jesus Christ, You are Yahweh. You are my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I accept salvation. Oh, how important it is that we just accept the salvation that God has given for us. I receive You, Lord. I receive You now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up in the air. Just lift them way up high. Just hold them there for a second. And receive this blessing on you. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everyone agreed, said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.